Joining you live tonight, right here, around the world, on the Transmitting Jewel of the South, right out of the great state of Tennessee. We're here tonight with a great message. We want you to stay tuned, call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that Pastor Buddy with the Shepherd's Call is live tonight on 3.185 on the Transmitting Dial. This is the exclusive program producer for the Shepherd's Call Radio Network. We'll be on, of course, Monday night, joining you at 9 Eastern Time. We'll be on Wednesday night, joining you at 10 Eastern Time. And then on Friday night, we'll be joining you at 9:30 to 10:30 every Friday night. So call a friend and neighbor and clue them in, because tonight's message, the entitlement of tonight's message is Sacred Conceptions Produce Divine Revelations. Now, I want to get into your spirit and let this saying sink down where it needs to be, into the heart. Sacred conceptions produce divine revelation. Did you know, neighbor, that everything that Yahweh done, everything he structured in the Bible, although it may seem foolish to you because the Bible said the carnal mind is not subject to these sacred conceptions. Now, to get a sacred conception, you must be partaker of the divine revelations. If you're none of his, that means that you'll never be able to figure out the mysteries. Tonight's mystery, we're going in because we're approaching one more time. This is the 16th annual Passover that we're going to be celebrating coming up in the month of May. Let me give you the dates for that. We're going to be in Andrews, North Carolina one more time. We'll be starting our service in Andrews, North Carolina, with foot washing on Friday the 8th. That's in the evening. That'll be our first service. Now, that's on the 13th of the Hebrew calendar. We'll explain that to you as we go into this mystery of elements and these conceptions. And you know the greatest teaching tool that I have ever encountered in my ministry is these divine revelations that come through these sacred conceptions of thought. This was in the mind of the Creator. This is why he set it up. And each one of these festivals, starting with Passover, there, you're commanded to keep three. You're commanded to keep the Passover. You're commanded to keep Pentecost. And then you're commanded to keep the Feast of Ingathering, better known to some as the Feast of Tabernacles, the indwelling, if you will. So, on Friday, May, now we keep the second Passover, and we're going to go into that divine revelation. We know that the first Passover that was instructed for them to keep is no longer biblically lawful for you to keep. and we're going to explain that, the great mysteries, and we're going to show you and prove to you in this three-hour presentation that I really enjoy getting into these great elements of divine revelation. And I was given this, believe it or not, in the second Passover, the second Passover we ever kept. This revelation came to me on why that we must keep the second Passover instead of the first Passover. Now, we'll explain all those divine concepts and the mysteries of those elements, and it'll take about 3 hours to cover, so we'll be on Monday night, Wednesday night, and hopefully Friday night, unless we are able to cover it all. In the first 2 hours, I know it'll at least take 2 hours, so it'll probably wind up in a three-part message of sacred conceptions through divine revelations, starting with the sacred principles of Passover. So we will start on the 8th. Now, on Saturday, that's on the 9th, we'll have Passover. We actually slaughter a lamb for our dinner, and everybody just cringes when I say that, because they think that is it's sacrilegious. And yet if I invite them to a swine cookout, a barbecue, kill a pig, pork barbecue, if I put up a sign advertising a pork barbecue for Passover, they'd all be there, because most of them, that's what they eat anyway, is roasted ham instead of the lamb. And in this, what people think that is done away with, and we're going to prove to you in Exodus chapter 12, we're going to start there, and we're going to really start in the 27th verse. When you enter the land, now this is after they departed from the land of sin. You see, Passover is symbolic of you leaving sin. The unleavened bread is the effects of no sin in your life. Sin causes you to rise up. And if there's no leavening of sin in your body, when you're washed in pure water, when you are sanctified and filled with the Holy Shekinah, with baptism in that great, wonderful, magnanimous, and most magnificent name, it's a name above every name, according to the Bible, and yet it's been changed and altered, and that's what we got to look for tonight. So in these elements, we're going to teach you how that Yahweh is going to reveal to you some of these sacred things that will bring divine revelation. And like I say, I believe that it was one of the most useful tools in my ministry to open up my mind and understanding these concepts of manifestations to produce the divine revelations that I have. And yet they're controversial because you have to go against the grain. I don't know of anyone other than our little group, and we are small. The straight is the way, and there's a gate, and if you there be, they find it. We are the only group, I know they may be others, hope they are, that keep the second Passover. Maybe tonight, after I teach you a little bit, you'll have a better understanding on why that you should keep the second Passover instead of the first Passover. Now, we'll go into some commandments for you in the first Passover, and the establishment and the dates that Yahweh told you in the month of green years, which is Abib, and it's the present Jewish Nisan that they celebrate. And so we'll give you some revelation here. All right, now, continuing. We're going to continue. The first day of unleavened bread will be on the 10th, and then we'll end the last day of unleavened bread, which is a high Sabbath, on the 17th. So the 10th day and the 17th is going to be a high Sabbath. Now, we're going to explain what that means to you. And there is the dates on May for the second Passover. Now, let's get into some scriptures here. This is in Exodus chapter 12, verse 25. And we've had people to tell us, which they tell us, and the word in telling in English is the Hebrew word for Haggadah. Haggadah means telling. And Yahweh wanted you to Haggadah your children, to tell your children. Pass this on as a commemorative annual festival and keep it as remembrance factor till he returned. You say, well, he's already come. We don't have to do it anymore. Most people take that. And yet, when he was here, he didn't end it. He established it. He kept it. Matter of fact, he happened to die on the Passover. This is the element of sacred conceptions that produced divine revelations, and part of the second Passover is one of the greatest elements of mystery that was given to me in these conceptions as I began on the second Passover. Like, this is the second Passover ever kept. And I was sitting there watching them put the carcass of the lamb. They'd already taken the meat off the bone. And remember, you're not supposed to break a bone on the lamb. It's a kosher killing. That means that it's properly bled. It's not like the heathen kill animals, like hit them in the head with a sledgehammer, and or addle them or shock them. And the reason that the slaughterhouses do that is to cause fright to the animal, and that causes all the blood in the animal's body to be distributed in the tissue of the muscle. And therefore, it makes the meat more tender and pliable and softer and juicier, if you will. And that's the reason they do that. Well, we don't do that. It's a kosher kill. And you're to drain the blood completely because it's against Yahweh's laws. And these are part of the conceptions of divine revelation, that you're not supposed to eat the blood, to consume the blood with the meat. You're not supposed to do that. It's against Yahweh's teaching. Notice here in Exodus chapter 12, verses 25 through 27. I'll read you these words. And when you enter the land that Yahweh will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children, see, he told them when you get into the land now, he showed them, he demonstrated. Because when they came out, on the Passover. And that's why it's called Passover. The night that he brought the killing angel through the land and he killed all the firstborn of Egypt, it was a great mourning throughout the land. Well, it's symbolic that Yahweh himself, though he brought death to Egypt, which symbolizes darkness and sin, he himself was an atonement because he died on a Passover. We're going to get into that and show you. When you come into the land that I have promised you, observe the ceremony. And he was talking about the ceremony of Passover. And when your children ask you, and believe me, if you bring your children to a Passover, the festival, it really looks like, since you're killing an animal, that you're cruel and inhumane. And you shouldn't do that. It's to set a killing example in front of children. And yet most people don't even know where their meat comes from. The mother goes to the store, or the father, and they got a shopping list, and they go down to the meat counter, and they pick up a nice saran-wrapped package of meat that's not been kosher killed, by the way. And then they'll bring it home, and they'll fix it, and the children never get to see. And the one thing that I appreciate about my life and my parents was that I was brought up on a farm, and I was taught, and we killed our own animals, by the way, but sheep was not one of our favorite animals. We here in East Tennessee, I didn't know of anybody that kept sheep. I knew a few neighbors that kept goats, but none that kept sheep. And yet this was the animal of choice in the Passover, so that Yahweh could demonstrate to you exactly what he meant by keeping the second Passover. And by keeping the second Passover, Yahweh wanted you to understand the elements that are revealed through the sacrifice. sacredness of this message, and if you are very sincere, if you understand, if you want to know more about the mystery elements and the sacredness of these elements, I believe you, if you're sincere and you want to do it right, you want to do it according to the Word. Here he said, observe this and do it. And he said, keep this feast. He actually said to keep it forever. When they ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? You tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to Yahweh. Now, if it was to Yahweh, why did the people eat it? Everybody thinks a sacrifice to Yahweh, would they just gather up animals and throw them on the fire and burn them, and Yahweh would come down and smell of it and eat it some way. That's not what it was for. This was a meal that they were to gather and to eat it according to the rituals that had been instructed to them. Say, do it. And tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to Yahweh, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes with our firstborn when he struck down the Egyptians' firstborn. So this is a symbolic of the firstborn. Well, remember that when Christ was born of the little virgin, that he was the firstborn. So it had to be a male firstborn. That was the sacrifice. And all of this is inclusive in the elements of mystery and in divine revelation. And it teaches you so much about the aspect of becoming someone that understands why that it's important to keep the festivals as he has commanded. I really didn't understand the significance and the powerful impact it was going to have upon my spiritual being. I was just amazed at the revelations that started coming to me after, you know, I grew up as a Baptist boy, a missionary Baptist boy, and of course, all we did, they passed the grape juice and the crackers around once a year, and that was it. And there was nothing teaching about it. I just know that my parents done it. They made it look sort of holy. We thought it was a special thing. I mean, they attached a holiness about it when they put it in silver, highly polished silver vessels, and then they poured the grape juice, and then they gave you a wafer and told you you was keeping Passover. Well, when I got older and began to seek my own path and ask my own questions and seek the divine conceptions to get these divine revelations, I was appalled at the lack of studying that the church that I attended especially had involved themselves in the ritual movements. Now, notice here in Exodus chapter 12 as we drop back to the 14th and the 15th verse. This is a day for you to commemorate for all generations to come. They shall celebrate it as a festival to Yahweh. It is an everlasting ordinance. Now look at that. And then they tell you today, well, you see, we don't do it like they done it, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God. Why not? If these are examples, and Yahweh is telling us in Exodus chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, that it would be an everlasting ordinance, and that we should eat the 7 days of the bread, well, they didn't tell me that in the Baptist church. Not to throw any light on the Baptist church, because most Christian churches does it the same way. I later on got in the Holiness Church, and they at least wash feet. And I participated in that, in the Holiness Oneness movement that I got into for 30 years. And, you know, we washed feet for 30 years. And we partake of the unleavened bread. Of course, we used the wine. I always knew that grape juice wasn't appropriate. For some reason, I already knew that. But I did know that foot washing was a part of the ritual. But I had it out of sequence, and tonight we're going to set it in order. And Haggadai means telling. So tell your children to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on the very day that I brought your people out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast. From the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. Now, that's 7 days. So we're going to put in a numerical order system and then bring in the element of mystery. I think you'll be intrigued by the mystery of the second Passover. And most people have never heard of it. And yet it's in the Bible. And it was for those in a far journey. Now, who kept the Passover in Israel? Let's go back to the time of Christ. Well, let's go back to the Passovers he kept, and he kept, actually, he kept 32 of them. He died when he was 33. And most people think he kept the 33rd Passover. He was the 33rd Passover. Now, that's where the element of mystery again enters in. We won't get into that portion of the element of the mystery of the 33rd degree, or the element of the number 33 being very significant in the mysteries, because other mystery schools have adopted the 33rd degree, particularly the Masons, and yet they're way out of line, because it has nothing to do with the sacredness of Yahweh. It has something to do with the element of a mystery of their own mind. They're trying to climb up some other way, and they incorporate these divine elements, and they have missed the boat. Listen in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. For it is by grace that you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. If my salvation depended on my performance, I'd be lost 1,000 times, and probably so would you, because there ain't none of us without sin. We've all sinned and come short. But my salvation is based upon His performance. And we're going to tell you this awful performance. Oh, it was cruel. It's cruel to bring your children. We have some people that can't even watch the lamb being killed because it's so touching. Well, that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to bring, it's a solemn assembly. No one wants to see a little lamb die. Well, I don't even want to see a pig die, and I won't see one in a Passover. I will not eat pork. I don't eat pork any time, because it's an unclean food. Yahweh didn't command you to go home and bake your swine's flesh in the ovens on Easter, which is the tradition of the Christian church. They have changed this message from lamb on the menu to ham. And therefore, they have defiled not only themselves, but those who are deceived growing up in that tradition. For we tend to follow the traditions that we're taught. I grew up as a Baptist boy, and I did the traditions until I got out of the Baptist tradition. When I was a child, I spake as a child and understood as a child, but when I came a man able to eat meat, I changed my menu from ham to lamb. I remember that my mom, we would kill swine. And every Easter, I could look forward to what was in the oven baking on Easter Sunday morning when we come back from hunting Easter eggs. That's part of a tradition, too. And you know what that is? It's the fertility god. And eating swine is dedicated to the Queen of Heaven, as it's recorded in the book of Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 8, that they bake cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Bake cakes. Well, that's where this, the tradition of the Roman Catholic Church came from. And this is how that the Christian tradition carried on. And this is why that most of them are lost, as it is stated in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 4 and 8. 4 through 8. These are Yahweh's appointed feast. You say, yeah, but we don't have to keep them no more. Now, Pastor Buddy, glory to God, we're not under the law now. That's for Moses and them old boys back there. Well, why is it that the Messiah kept, like I said, 32 of them himself faithfully? Why is it that Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and others that I can mention in the New Testament, were still keeping the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles long after the Messiah died and went back into the heavens? It is recorded in Acts 10:41 that he did eat and drink with them after he rose from the dead. So the tradition continues after he rose from the dead. Here is a Messiah that's going to come back as our Passover. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking for the time that the age of Pentecost comes in spiritual manifestation, the pouring out, like it did on the day of Pentecost. Now, we're going to teach you about the mystery of Pentecost and how people have wrongly brought the Pentecost 50 days after the Passover and wrongly assumed that they're doing the right thing by keeping it, because Pentecost means 50 days in Greek. So we're going to help you on that. And we're going to give you a different concept. Now, remember that I said the sacred conceptions bring divine revelations. Once you begin to see these elements of mystery, and once you see the Seder, which is the Hebrew word for Passover, it's celebrated as a special servant, and it is order. That's what the word Seder means. It's order. Do all things in order. Yahweh commanded this festival be kept for eternally, he said. Did you know that we're going to keep it in the new kingdom? This is his commands. It wasn't done away with because he died. He was just the fulfillment of the perpetual lamb for a sin offering. Here the lamb was never offered up for a sin offering. You see, That was for the heifers and the bulls and the goats. The lamb was a family meal. When he got his, you see, he didn't keep it with the Egyptians. He separated them and got them the night that he came over. They were separated. That's why that he said, get in your house and stay there. He didn't want them out running around with the Egyptian friends and down wherever. Running around, because this was a sacred moment and a sacred time, and he was going to do a sacred thing. And these conceptions brought these divine revelations. And here is Moses and Aaron and the Israelites now being ordered in Leviticus 23 verses 4 that Yahweh's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, it will be Yahweh's Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast, and on the first day hold a sacred assembly. That's the high day. Now my question to you, and I hear these people that use the Gregorian calendar as a time frame, and they say, oh, now he had to, you see the Catholic Church, see they jump all over the Catholic Church. They hate the Catholic Church because they say that the Catholic Church changed the true Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. That's a lie, because the true Sabbath was never on a Saturday, just on occasionally when the lunar focused and cycled through and happened to fall randomly on a Saturday, which is the Gregorian calendar, and Saturday means Saturn, the planet Saturn, in recognition of the Greek gods. Janus is January, and Tuesday is Thor's day, and so on and so forth. So you see how that we've been given this misconception. You can get deceived through conception, or you can get the divine revelation through proper conceiving. Let this thought, let this saying reach down into your heart. And if you are a sincere student and it means anything to you, most people don't even mean nothing to them. They wouldn't go to a Passover. I mean, they'd rather stay home and watch soap operas and bake a ham. Barely will go to a traditional church to eat ham or hide Easter eggs anymore. Because, you see, it's become sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, a tradition that was taught through the Catholic Church, which is the setter, which is the eggs, which is the fertility god, Ishtar. And that's what our present Passover in the bell box church, I call them, that's where all this is coming from. But to go back into biblical history, it's written here. And I just give you the scriptures where he said appointed. Now, what you say, well, Pastor Buddy, why shouldn't we keep the first Passover? Well, now, we're going to save that for part two. And then in part three, we're going to give you the scriptures to prove that they were still keeping this Passover, one or two. Let me give you something to think about as we are dropping the conceptions to hopefully bring you a divine revelation. The Israel, if you noticed at the time of Christ, like I said, when he was here, there was not one Passover that he kept any other place except in its proper location. Now, everybody in Israel, you couldn't just have a haphazard meeting. You could not. By order of command, you had to keep it at the temple where his name was at. That was instructions from the Heavenly Father himself. And to disobey that, do you know what that would result in? It would result in you losing your land inheritance, if you had any. And that's what it was all about. Remember the blind man that was healed, and the parents were asked, you know why that they hesitated about telling the Pharisees and confessing that it was the Messiah that healed their son? They already knew it was. But notice they avoided saying it publicly, because if they had said it, they would have been put out of that temple called the synagogue. They would have lost their inheritance. They would have been disfellowshipped and moved out of Israel and disgraced. And so it was very, very important for the Israelites to congregate only once a year now for Passover at one particular location. And this being at the time of the Messiah, it was in Jerusalem at the temple. And the Levites were ordered at that time to kill the lambs. They had to be kosher killed by a priest. And the Levites. And so then, this mystery of why that we cannot keep the first Passover legally is tied into that reckoning right there. And a lot of people can't see that. And I ask them, which Passover do you keep? Well, I keep, well, Lord, I keep in April. I keep the first one. And I've got brothers and sisters in the name of Yahweh that still don't get this message. They can't grasp the conception. The seed is dug up out of the heart. You can plant it, but it falls on stony ground, a hardened heart, an uncaring. The Bible said to search the scriptures for earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, by earnestly contending for the faith, that means that you push your plate back. And that means that you pray. And that means that you try to grasp the spiritual significance and the holy meaning of the ancient ritual of Passover. I've done told you that none of them could keep the first one without being in Jerusalem. You say, oh, they had little groups here and down in Judea. They kept it down there, and they kept it up in the land of Zebulun, up in the land of Dan, and in the land. No, they didn't. They all had to pack it up. And it was important for them to come once a year to the Passover. And that was a good time to register them. And Israel had a form of registration that the firstborn, who was the inheritor of the land that was divided into tribes, that they could keep this forever. And Passover was a time that the census was taken and the firstborn reported. This was a Hebrew custom. Everybody said it was a Jewish custom. Well, you see, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I read so much of this junk. And most people are so deceived that they think that the Jews were the ones that came out of Egypt. And that's a misnomer. Everybody thinks it was the Jews that came out. It was the house of Israel that came out. It was 12 tribes, not one. The Jews are only one tribe, or the house of Judah. Judah was just one tribe down there. There was 12 tribes down there. And so then, if we use the proper terminology, see, that's why that these people can't catch these conceptions, and they miss it, because they've been indoctrinated with false leavened bread. They've leveled it up with yeast and rose up in their heart through tradition and ignorance and fear and superstition, that if they say anything against the Jews, they're speaking against God's holy people, and that's not true. So then, the Seder traditionally is celebrated with a special meaning of order, that everything be done in decency and order. Now, there was a specific food that was set for the Seder to set on the table. And it tells you in the Bible what that their menu was. And yet, we got people that says, well, no, we ain't going to kill that lamb now. We don't do that anymore. That's sacrificing. Well, Yahweh wanted him to kill a lamb. Why did he choose a lamb? Because it depicted the very nature. There's not one animal on the earth that really represents the nature of the Messiah. He was tender-hearted. He opened not his mouth. See, that's a type of lamb. Well, there wasn't any sin in him. He didn't raise up when they smote him, when they drove the crown of, probably they had woven 12 crowns into and I used to keep it, and I've still got a reed of thorn, a brother that made for me, oh gosh, this is going back 35, 40 years ago, no longer than that. And I still got that crown. And I had him to weave 12 thorns into the ring. And you can imagine someone taking a stick as he was being mocked and scandalized, and openly beaten and flogged with a cat of nine tails. They opened up his back with 39 stripes, save one. What a horrible, bruised mess that this man had claimed to be the God of the universe. They thought he was a deranged criminal. They thought he was a son of Lucifer, a demonic demon. When he said he was Yahweh, that was blasphemy. And so they recklessly, with abandon, I mean, they just smote that crown. They drove those 12 thorns. That's what Israel, meaning the pricking of the thorns. And they drove it deep embedded into his skull. Think about the agony of the brain as these thorns pierced the skull. And the intense, sheer agony. No wonder the Bible said, and he opened his mouth and cried. Oh, my. And you say, well, yeah, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not. He didn't say that. The original Greek says, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. The people that killed him know what they were doing. Now, the other people who he came to save had done forsook him and left. They fled. And so he was along with his captors and the satanic seed that killed him, children of the devil, he said in 844. He said, you're sons of Satan. And it was Satan that literally killed him, because they said, the sons of Satan, the Pharisees and the scribes, and the chief priests, they said, come, let us kill him that we might have his possession. They knew if they got rid of him that they had it going their way, that they could carry on with their tradition, act holy, say and do not. But we're looking for a people that are willing now to come and keep it where a... Now, with the second Passover, you are free. We're going to get into the liberties of the second Passover versus the restrictions of the first Passover. It's astonishingly different. And yet, people can't see it because, well, I'm supposed to keep that first and glory to God. Well, if they do, they need to go back to Jerusalem. They need to go back where his name's at. They say, well, I am the temple of Yahweh, and his name is in me. Yeah, but they all had to go to a specific place to keep this event and to keep it with those. And the Bible said, fail not to assemble together. The liberty of the second is so drastically different, and the concepts that bring these divine revelations, and you have to be spiritually minded. You just can't sit there in a big hunk of flesh with your carnal mind and your belly shaking like jelly and get this. You're going to have to push that plate back. You're going to have to pray. And I'm talking about enough to break through the carnality of your carnal mind, because the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity. And what you may have conceived as a conception of righteousness may be in truth a conception of falsehood. Because many, the Bible said, are deceived, following their pernicious ways, being turned into vain jangling, the tinkling cymbals and sounding brass, just popping off at the mouth because it sounds good, or it's a standard tradition. And yet, if you preach a revelation, something that's above their head, and they can't get it, then it's something that they can't understand. Now, what was on the dinner table? Well, the first scripted account that were to be eaten at the appropriate times, there was bitter herbs. Now, why bitter herbs? That reminded us of the bitterness of the slavery to sin. That's why that was included in it. That was no more than they went out on the desert. At that time, they lived in rural places, and sometimes these things were very hard to come by. And yet they went out, and I remember me and my mother, we would go out and we'd find these little creases, or what we call them here in the South, and we would cut them off, and sometimes they were very bitter. And this is what they did. They just fixed a natural growing salad. And then they would take dig roots, and they would gather the horseradish, which was very strong and bitter, and they would sprinkle this salad with the horseradish sauce that they'd make, just like we do today. And there you got your first element, because it reminded... And it reminded Yahweh. That's why he brought it in there. And then they would dip the greens in salt water. Now, there's an element of salt on the table. Here's where it comes. The element of salt water to remind us of the tears. See, tears are salty. You ever taste a tear that, I don't know where you have it. I know I have. I have wept so much that the tears would run down and drip into my mouth with my mouth open, crying out to Yahweh. And they've got a salty taste, and that's what that it's the salt. You've heard about rubbing salt in your wounds. The bitterness of the salad and the greens that was dipped in salt water to remind us of the tears that we shed in the land of bondage. And right now, we're still in bondage. I don't know whether you know that or not, but the true house of Israel is still in bondage. You may think you're free, And people say, well, I live in a good old USA. You can't even say the Pledge to the Allegiance in USA churches or government institutions. You can't even use the word God because, see, religion now is offensive. So they got to protect those people that don't believe in our way of living or our Creator. So this is what this, you know, and we should still be crying out. Although we think we're free, we're not. It reminds us of those bitter herbs. Now, the bread that we're to eat, this is the third element. Remember, it is the bitter herbs, and I gave you the illustration of how to do that, and the salt water, and the bread. These are the elements. These are all divine conceptions and the mind of Yahweh. He knew what he was doing. He framed this perfectly to show you the reason that we do these things and how much it will, it's just like when you do these things enough. It's like the lotus petal. It opens up and unfolds. And then the mystery of these conceptions that you have incorporated into faith action. And remember, your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. You can confess it, but he ain't looking for a confession. He's looking for a doer. First you confess it, and then you become a doer of it. So the bread is the final element, and it has to be unleavened with no leavening in it, and it typifies a sin-free body with no rising, given case an occasion to wrath. And it's so wonderful. It's a treasure for you to get these wonderful things that are put in the element of sacraments with the first festival of Passover. And like I say, the second element of this mystery is moving over to the second Passover. Now, we're going to cover that next broadcast, which will be on Wednesday night. You don't want to miss it, because I'll get into the second Passover and show you the elements that are hidden from the wise and the prudent and revealed in the conception of the divine revelation that Yahweh wanted only his people. Now, remember this. This is the golden rule. If this gospel is hid, it's hid to those that are lost. But now remember, he wants you to tell it to your children. Bring up your child in the way it should go. When you teach them these elements, when you tell them, the Bible said, bring the lamb and kill it in front of the whole congregation. You must be able to observe this lamb being killed, especially if you're a meat eater. You say, I can't stand to see that little lamb killed. Well, go down to the supermarket and ask the manager where he got that piece of meat. Somebody killed it, wrapped it up real nice for you, and if you're just trying to avoid the stench and the cry of the animal, then you should quit eating meat. But if you want to really get into the conception of the revelation, that's what it's all about. Get this conception. It'll unfold into your mind and open up in avenues and ways that you never experienced. It says, when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Remember, he said, kill it before the whole congregation. Both men, women, and children were there. The whole house of Israel were to be there. Each house had to supply a lamb, and if one lamb was too big for the household, they would share it with a less fortunate family that didn't have a lamb. And therefore, nobody went without it. Everybody was a participant, and they all had to watch it. And in this conception, it brings about the dying. It brings about the time when you are to conceive this great thought in your heart and in your mind as we celebrate the Feast of Unleavened, because it was on this day that he brought the children of Israel out, and then he told them to do it in the time appointed and do it forever. And so then these wonderful days, if you really want to know the truth, the reason why so many people are satisfied with where they're at, and it's just tradition, and yet they're satisfied with that. They have a way that seems right, and it's the way of death. The Bible said, for you to earnestly contend for the faith, as I said, and to study, to see what you can learn from the conceptions to reveal in your heart the manifestation of the divine revelations. It's wonderful. It's joy unspeakable. It's the voice of many waters. It's the sound of our testimonies unified in the very time that Yahweh has called us together. And he said, that's my people. They are still doing what I told them to do. They're still carrying on the family tradition. Do this forever as a remembrance to me. Say, well, now I go down to church and they give me some Kool-Aid or some grape juice and I eat that cracker, glory to God, and I've kept Passover. You've kept it the traditional way, but you ain't kept it the Bible way. And I've explained to you what the Bible way is. And, you know, if you don't want the Bible way, why don't you just go to hell with all nations that don't want to go the Bible way? But if you want to go to heaven, why don't you obey it and become a doer? Because it's the doer that is justified not to hear. Many say, well, I believe I'm all right. I believe I'm saved. Glory to God. And they'll smite their breath. That's what they were doing back there when they're casting dust in the air when these preachers were preaching the same message that I'm preaching. Passover lasts for 7 days, not just one little quick trip down to the little carpeted air-conditioned church. I mean, I've done this in the rain. I think the third or fourth the Passover, man, we got tried and tested in all the years that, you know, you're not promised fire weather, I tell you that. And if you're just a fire weather Christian, you might as well get out anyway. But if you're a dedicated, you know, you can stand a little rain. I mean, if you can sit out in the freezing rain in a ball game and cheer your favorite team on, surely you can cheer on the remembrance of Yahweh's festival and be enthusiastic about it. Don't let a little rain dampen your spirit. I know it's like they said, well, they rained on our parade and we haven't had good weather, and glory to God, and God must not have been in favor of that. Think about the Israelites who were out camped in the desert for 40 years. You reckon ever got any rain on them? You think they might have ever got any snow? It did snow over there. They're on the 34th parallel, just like we are here in Tennessee. Same weather. And so then, the elements of mystery is conviction. Be convinced. Be convicted. Be earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the Master. Now, what about foot washing, Pastor? But do you think that that's a ritual that has gotten away from are we supposed to do that? What's that? Is that part of Passover? Because we're going to get into the elements where he did use foot washing, but that was a tradition that came back out of the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. Did you know that Yahweh himself had his feet washed, and he participated in the days of unleavened bread with Abraham and Lot? The two angels actually ate unleavened bread. And it says that Sarah baked a whole cake on the hearth and went into the herd and killed, says the fatted calf. But I think it was the lamb. I think it was a misnomer there. Because we find that only one time a year are you supposed to keep the days of unleavened bread. And it specifically says that the angels ate unleavened bread with Lot. It must have been the Passover. And it must have been the time that they appeared as the Passover reckoning of conception to divine revelation that Abraham got, and he carried on the family tradition and passed it on to his children. And here we are, some of us, We're still doing it according to the word. See, do it according to the ritual. And it means so much. I never get tired of it. I learn something every time. And I participate in many of these. And every time I do it, I learn something. You can learn something if you're dedicated. You can get a conception, a thought. I know that I got the mystery of the second Passover in the first Passover. And that's the first Passover kept because I got a revelation of why I should keep the second Passover and not the first Passover. I'm not going to fall out with you if you keep the first Passover. But I don't think you've got the proper revelation. And I'm going to give you mystery elements Wednesday night. Now, you don't want to miss next Wednesday night here live on WWRB. Pastor Buddy, I'm live ever Monday night and ever said that we're just going to keep the Passover in Andrews, North Carolina. I meant Murphy, North Carolina. So on Friday, that's May the 9th. That's Friday. We'll begin at Friday, May the 8th. And then Passover Day is going to be on Saturday, May the 9th. So we'll be in Murphy, North Carolina at Rob and Sue's to keep the Passover. Now, those that have attended know where that's at. If you'd like to attend, an old-fashioned, just like they did it in Israel. That's the way we try to keep it and do the rituals thereof so that you can, so I thank Bob for updating me and correcting that. It will be in Murphy, North Carolina. Murphy. And Brother Randy just dropped me an email to remind me of that, so I'm glad that they're listening so that they can correct me. But Murphy is right in the vicinity of Andrews, about 20 miles, but we kept several in Andrews. Now we've moved down to Rob and Sue's, wonderful saints that make their home and their property available where we keep the traditional Passover high on the mountain there in Murphy, North Carolina, in the Smoky Mountains. Beautiful setting. Wonderful people. Great time. They get everything ready. They labor. Brother Odell and all the gang there in North Carolina, Brother Rob, and all the brothers that are there, they make sure that everything is ready. All the elements of our worship. We go on the altar every night, and we sanctify ourselves, and we eat unleavened bread for the 7 days like it's recorded. And so then, we want you to be with us if you are of the house of Israel. And so contact us. We got plenty of time now. Remember, it'll come up in May that we will be keeping the second Passover on the 8th, starting 8th, we'll have the full worship, and I'll get into that in part three, of why we keep a foot washing and how we put it in order and the ritual of a Passover and why you need to understand that. Now, quickly, I've got to get out of here because my time is coming gone, and I'd like to thank you for listening. I'll be back Wednesday night, and I'll be on at 10 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. And I'll finish it up Friday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time now, here live on the Transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that by the conception and the revelations of Yahweh, that Yahweh is a strong tower, and that those who run into it, they're safe. So let's get on board with the Passover Festival this year in Murphy, North Carolina. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on the 16th day of March. Just write, you can call me, air code 423-626-2172. Now, that again, that's Pastor Buddy, 423 626 626-2172. If you'd like to write me, my address is simply Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Got to get out of here because the old clock on the wall is going to chase me away. I love you very much, and Yahweh bless you.